So he was putting that forward to his peers as, here's a great idea. Make it harder for your people to cancel and you'll get more money. They're being sued now by the FTC for, quote, tricking and trapping consumers. The FTC, Federal Trade Commission, that protects us, right, as American consumers. But it had to get to that level of a lawsuit from the government to get even a mostly well-regarded company that's very customer-centric to make it easy. It's annoying, it's frustrating, and it's expensive when it's hard to cancel.
Welcome to the only show that simplifies the complicated world of retirement planning while embracing life beyond the numbers.
Expect clear insights,
accessible tools,
expert interviews,
and actionable advice,
empowering you to use your values as a roadmap to your ideal retirement.
No MBA required.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Your Retirement Planning Simplified. I'm your host, Joe Curry, along with my co-host, as always, Lindsay Wilson. How are you, Lindsay?
I'm great, Joe. How's it going?
It's going great. I was just thinking this is the first episode that we've recorded since I was just down in Arizona. So it's good to be back, but I was gone for 9 days and I kind of forgot what it was like to be in the office here this week. So it's been good to get back.
Yay.
But I was down there, had some time with my family, which was great. We made it to Sedona. Did some hiking, so got to climb a couple mountains with my boys, 4 and 6, and my wife. So that was kind of cool to be able to say we did that together. After they left, I spent time with my mastermind group where we were really diving into how to make the client experience better for our clients.
Mm-hmm.
It was productive from a personal and business standpoint while I was gone. So that was a lot of fun, but it's good to be back here with you now, Lindsay.
Excellent. Well, I say we jump into our episode with Robbie Baxter and the subscription economy.
Yeah, so this is a good episode. Talking about something that I think pertains to everybody, I would be shocked if any of our listeners could say that they don't have a subscription that they're paying for that they forgot about. So we really dive more into some of the details around the subscription economy. Probably most importantly, Robbie has some tips, things to think about to kind of help make sure we're not blindly spending money on subscriptions, you know, ways to cut them off, ways to avoid getting into that trap in the first place. And it's not all bad. I mean, there's a lot of good that comes from having subscriptions. We don't have to buy assets. So in a lot of cases, kind of renting, so to speak, is better than buying. But anyway, we dive into all that stuff with Robbie.
Excellent. I'd love to tell everybody a little bit more about her. She's a consultant and speaker who's been providing strategic business advice to Silicon Valley companies for over 20 years. And she is the founder of the consulting firm Peninsula Strategies, LLC, and regularly presents to professional associations, leading universities, and corporations.
Yeah. So if you're wondering, why is this on Your Retirement Planning Simplified? If I just back up a little bit, just keeping in mind, one of the things we're trying to do when we get into retirement is to make the best use of our money, right? So from a cash flow standpoint, we want to make sure that we're not throwing money out the window that could be used to help us live our best retirement life.
Absolutely.
So hopefully this is going to help you free up a little bit of cash flow moving forward. So let's jump in. Hi, Robbie. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks. Nice to be here with you.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you on the show. As we were talking a little bit before we just jumped on the recording here, retirees, one of the things we're always looking to do is see where we can free up cash flow so people can be spending their cash on things that are bringing real value and purpose to their life. So I'm excited to have you on today so we can just talk a little bit about maybe some of the things we could be thinking about to free up some of that cash flow. So specifically, we're going to be talking a little bit about the subscription or membership economy. So if we could just start there, Robbie, maybe you could just give our listeners an overview of what that even means.
Yeah. So membership economy, subscription economy, terms that describe what's been happening in the last 15 years or so, where virtually every business has moved at least part of what they do to subscription model. And that's everything from your streaming services to your software to maybe your groceries or your meal kits, or maybe even you're in a tie of the month club, you know, that your kids gave you. Lots and lots of subscriptions out there. When they're done well, they're great for both sides. They're great for the company because, of course, they get this automatic payment every month from you and they can manage their cash flow better themselves. And ideally for us as consumers, it's great because you're solving an ongoing problem. You don't have to worry about it. You just turn on the TV and there's always something to watch. Or you know that your groceries are going to be delivered on Tuesdays and you don't have to make your way to the store. So it's great in a lot of ways, but we're getting to kind of peak subscription where there's a subscription for virtually everything. And I think for a lot of us, it's becoming hard to keep track of.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any kind of data or numbers around the amount of money wasted every year on subscriptions?
Well, I know that the average American is spending somewhere between $217 and $273 a month on consumer subscriptions. So subscriptions that they're paying for themselves as opposed to, you know, through work. So that's not insignificant. Now, I can't say if you're getting great value out of your Netflix or your produce box or not, how much of that is wasted, how many tomatoes are going in the garbage disposal, but it is a lot of money that people are spending. And what I find really interesting is a lot of people don't even know what they're spending on.
So how do you think that consumers kind of get into this situation where they forget what they're actually spending and they have these subscriptions, some of which they're using and getting value out of, but these other ones that they've signed up for and kind of forgot about? Why do we let that happen?
There's a few things. So first of all, the great thing about a subscription relationship is that you can set it and forget it. And you just know that the thing is going to happen and you don't have to worry about it. The dark side of that is that once you set it, you probably are going to forget it. So especially in situations where you sign up for a specific moment in time. So for example, you sign up for Disney Plus because you want to watch Hamilton. And then you watch Hamilton over the holidays with your family and you forget to cancel because you haven't made it part of your habits. Sometimes that's the reason. Sometimes the reason is that the organization doesn't really want you to remember. Bad actors, right? They're hoping that you forgot that you're subscribing and they don't send you any messages because they're like, oh, if we send Robbie an email, she'll be like, oh yeah, I'm subscribing. I should probably cancel. So sometimes you're not getting reminders. And unless you're carefully looking at your credit card statement, your Apple apps account, your Amazon subscriptions account, which are quite hidden, it's easy to forget what you have. And I think also when you subscribe, when you're looking for options, you're kind of in consumer mode and you're carefully considering options. You're looking at what they cost and what the value is and what the other options are. Once you subscribe, you kind of go from leaning forward to just leaning back and relaxing into the relationship. And you don't worry about it anymore. And you don't think every month as that charge comes in, do I still need this? Which is different than if you have to proactively buy something. Every time you proactively buy something, you say, do I really need this before I put it in my cart?
Yeah.
But it's already coming to you. It's reactive as opposed to proactive. And I think that makes it harder for us to keep track.
Yeah, and I think that all makes perfect sense. And you talked about the bad actors. The one thing that really drives me nuts is where if I want to cancel, I can't just cancel. I have to call somebody or email somebody and wait for a response because I know a lot of our listeners like myself are busy. So if I want to get rid of something, I just want to be able to go do it. And if I have to call somebody and wait on hold, then end up putting it off and I'll pay a couple more months before I actually cancel that thing.
Right. Actually, I work with a lot of subscription companies and do a lot of speaking to subscription executives. And a few years ago, I was giving a talk to a room full of CEOs of subscription companies. And they were sharing ideas of how to build better subscription models. And one of them said, you know what's really great is I put an extra task. They have to call us before they can cancel. And it's actually improved our retention by 3 months. So he was putting that forward to his peers as here's a great idea. Make it harder for your people to cancel and you'll get more money. And interestingly, so many people in America have Amazon Prime. Amazon had a team at their company that was working on the cancel flow. So what are the steps you have to take to cancel your Amazon Prime subscription? And you know how a lot of companies give nicknames to projects that they're working on? So everybody kind of knows, oh, you're working on that project.
Yeah.
They called it Project Iliad because it was like the Odyssey to get out. It was like a journey and you had to fight the mermaids and you had to battle your way through in order to actually escape. And they're being sued now by the FTC for, quote, tricking and trapping consumers. The FTC, Federal Trade Commission, that protects us, right, as American consumers. But it had to get to that level of a lawsuit from the government to get even a mostly well-regarded company that's very customer-centric to make it easy. It's annoying, it's frustrating, and it's expensive when it's hard to cancel.
Yeah, exactly. And it's frustrating. So one of the other things that you mentioned is actually, you know, you want to watch a show. So you sign up for Disney Plus or whatever, just so you can watch that show. So a lot of the spending starts as something that's not necessarily aligned with our values. We want it in the moment, but then for all the reasons we just talked about, not so simple to cancel that subscription or we just forget about it, whatever it is. So one of the things we like to talk a lot about with people when we're meeting with them is getting clear on our values. And sometimes I think people just want to talk about money, but a big part of why we want to have these conversations and making sure people are being intentional about their values is so that when they start making purchases, they can make sure those purchases are more intentional and in alignment with their values, right? It gives us a bit of a filter for our spending, which hopefully helps us not go down the road of spending money on things that we're not going to look at and forget about and cost us money in the long term. So we talked about some of the issues of what we see with people and why we have these subscriptions. But what are some tangible solutions for our listeners about how they can maybe keep track of these things or not kind of fall into this trap of paying for things that they're not using?
Well, I love what you said about values alignment. When subscriptions are done well, the values alignment is actually pretty great. So one organization I did quite a bit of work with, Produce Box, that delivers organic local produce to your house once a week. One of their biggest strengths was the alignment of values. Our family wants to eat healthy. We want to eat more vegetables. We want to support the local economy.
Yeah.
Lots of good reasons to subscribe, and it just comes to your house. So it can be a really great thing. But I think the first thing is figure out what your values are. And like right now, look at all your subscriptions. And I would say there's probably three places where they are lurking. One of them is in your credit card statement.
Yep.
One of them, as I said, is if you're an Amazon Prime member, there's a subscriptions list of anything that you signed up for through Amazon, and then through your app store on your phone. And it can take a couple of clicks to find it, but it's worth it. Like set aside a half an hour and just go through all three of those and just look and say, are these in alignment with my values? And am I using them? Most of them are very easy to cancel and return to. You don't lose much by leaving. Maybe you leave your history, right? These are all the movies I've watched or what have you. But for the most part, you can leave and come back pretty easily. That would be the first thing that I would suggest you do. Second thing that I suggest you do going forward is think about whether you, when the moment comes to sign up for a subscription, say, do I really need this subscription or is it just one product? And sometimes it's worthwhile to pay more for the one thing, to buy the movie instead of subscribing.
Yeah.
And it seems counterintuitive. And there's some people that have gone so far as to say, I don't subscribe to anything. I only pay as I go.
That's tough today.
It's tough today and you might miss out on things, but I'm trying to be respectful of,
yeah,
you know, if you're really trying to get your expenses under control, try a few months of no subscription and then see what you miss.
Sure.
For many, many years, we lived happily paying as we went or owning things outright. And now you can subscribe to your car, you can subscribe to vacation clubs and you can subscribe to clothing. I mean, everything that you need, you could subscribe to, but we used to be able to do all those things either through ownership or pay-per-use.
Yeah, that's great. We do have a lot of business owners that listen to the podcast. So what do you think it looks like in a world where we have this values alignment like you talked about? How are companies putting out these type of subscription offers in a way that leaves the consumer feeling really good about the experience?
Yeah, so you want to be really clear about your communications and you want to make the offering as simple as possible. So easy to sign up, easy to cancel. I think the best subscription offerings, I don't know if you've had the experience of like calling your newspaper or your phone provider and threatening to cancel.
Yeah.
And suddenly they're like, oh, well, what about if we give you 10% off? What about 20% off? What about 30% off and a free subscription to Popular Mechanics for the next 6 months and some knives? And you're like, okay, I'll take it. I think that is actually not in the consumer's interest because ideally, as a business, what you're doing with a subscription is you're making a forever promise to that customer. You're saying, in exchange for your regular payments and trusting me with your regular payments, I'm going to solve an ongoing problem for you. I'm going to make sure you never run out. You always have something cool to wear. I'm going to make sure you always have the latest makeup or hobby supplies. And in exchange, you're paying me on a regular basis. And it's that simple. And anytime you don't need it anymore, I encourage you to cancel. And here's the great big cancel button. And by the way, you can look all around on Reddit and Discord. You're not going to find a better deal. This is the deal. Netflix is a great example of this. There's only one price. And it doesn't matter if you've been subscribing for 100 years or you've just started subscribing last week. We all pay the same thing. And there's only one offer, which is monthly, which means you don't have to be an expert on how Netflix prices. Compare this to newspapers, right? Where you might be paying triple what your next door neighbor is paying for the same subscription. So the best actors have a clean, simple system, easy to sign up, easy to know how much you're paying, easy to cancel, no weird special promotions and deals. One other tip for your listeners, especially in the subscriptions that have a phone number, a lot of times the ones that have the phone number, if you call them and threaten to cancel, they'll give you a better deal. And their whole logic, which I think is kind of messed up, is if they're not complaining, we're going to keep raising the price on them. So when you call, they say, oh, you're unhappy. Do you want to pay less? And what's interesting is you don't even have to negotiate.
Yeah.
This is so interesting because a lot of people are going to probably saying, oh, Robbie, you know, I don't want to call and threaten and be mean and rude, right? All you have to do is call them and say, hi, I've been subscribing to your paper for 7 years. I've noticed that the price has gone up quite a bit since I started. And I'm wondering if you can give me a better deal. I'm a loyal customer. I'm just wondering if you're able to. And then listen.
Yeah.
And most call center operators, they have a script and they have rules. So when you ask, they either are or are not allowed to give you better deals. And if they are, you should ask, right? Are you able? Are you in a position where you can easily give me a better deal? And a lot of times they'll say, yeah, would you like 20% off? And it's a part of me that's like, yes, everybody should get 20% off. If you're willing to give 20% off to your loyal customers, every loyal customer should have that. They should be treated well in exchange for their loyalty. But unfortunately, with some companies, that's just not how they operate.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't create a lot of trust where you're not getting the best price. You have to call and ask for it. But on the same hand, I've seen that countless times. Every single time I get a new phone, I call my provider and I just ask to talk to client retention right away.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to get a better deal every single time.
Every single time.
Yeah. And it makes me mad that I have to go through that process and do it. But on the same hand, I also don't want to pay more money than I have to.
Yeah.
XM Radio is a good example of that too. I think if you're paying more than $5 a month for XM Radio, you're overpaying.
Right.
But I know that's not where it starts.
Right. And they have a lot of options and they have 6 months for $5 and then it's $10 a month. And you're like, wait, what just happened here? So really, it is annoying. And I agree with you. And it's frustrating to feel like I shouldn't have to do this. I should just sign up and get the price I'm entitled to. But for some vendors, for some companies, this is what they do. And it does lead to short-term revenue on their side. Like I do know that. I see the numbers that if you charge people a lot until they complain, you will get more money in the short term. But in the long term, for business owners listening, it does eat into your goodwill. It makes people trust you less over time. So if your goal is this year, I need to maximize my revenue and I don't care what next year looks like, yeah, go ahead and do this kind of high-low pricing. But if you're trying to build a legacy business, you want to hand it on to your kids, you want to feel proud every day, you're probably going to build more long-term value by having clear, simple pricing and making it easy for people to join and easy for people to cancel.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So a big part of why I wanted to have you on here, Robbie, is again, just talking about the cash flow standpoint and bringing our listeners their attention to this. I think everybody knows we probably have some subscriptions we're not using, but it's one of those things kind of in the back of our mind. We won't get to it. So from an action standpoint, I hope that our listeners are going to go look in those places that you mentioned. And before we kind of sign off for today, is there any other thoughts or any other actions that you recommend for our listeners around, again, getting a handle on this?
Yeah. We talked about go through your list, cancel the stuff you don't want. Going forward, don't sign up for things you don't want. Call the ones that you want, but you want a better price, to see if you can get a better price. These are all good things, but a lot of subscriptions are great. And if you like your subscriptions and you know you're going to keep using it, another thing to consider is annual versus monthly. Most subscriptions give you a much better price and sometimes extra benefits if you're committing for the long term. So just as I said, if you don't think you're going to use it regularly, you're probably better off paying a little more for that one car wash a month rather than subscribing at the price of two car washes a month for unlimited car washes, right? It might just be better for you. But if you know that you wash your car every week, see if you can get an annual subscription and maybe save even a little more money for those ongoing expenses that you know you're going to continue with for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because essentially what you're doing paying monthly is you're actually paying like a financing charge, more or less.
Yes. And you're paying for flexibility. If you're like, okay, this Spotify is how I get my music, I'm not going to cancel next week. Look into the annual. It can save you some money and also simplify your billing. And that number is much bigger, that once a year number. So you're much more likely to notice it.
Yeah.
On your credit card statement than all those $9 and $6 and $8 that you kind of glaze over when you give the credit card statement a once over.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, Robbie, before I let you go, could you just tell our listeners a little bit about kind of what you're up to and where people can find you?
Yeah, you can find me at robbiekelmanbaxter.com. Easy to find me. That's my name. I post pretty much every day on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow me there and get tips on how to save money. And also for those of you that are running businesses, how to do ethical, effective maximizing of lifetime customer value with your customers.
That's great. And I love how you're looking at both sides of this too. So you're not biased one way or the other, but you're taking the perspective of the businesses are obviously trying to build a business and make money, but also like kind of the value on the consumer side. So that's great. All right. Well, thanks for joining me today, Robbie. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks again for having me, Joe.
Our pleasure.
Investment services are provided through Matthews & Associates Investments of Aligned Capital Partners Incorporated, an approved trade name of Aligned Capital Partners, Inc., ACPI. Only investment-related products and services are offered through ACPI/Matthews & Associates Investments of ACPI and covered by the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. Tax planning, financial planning, and insurance services are provided through Matthews & Associates. Matthews & Associates is an independent company separate and distinct from ACPI/Matthews & Associates Investments of ACPI. Matthews & Associates are not licensed tax professionals, and you should consult with your tax advisor before acting on any recommendations.
Visit retirementplanningsimplified.ca and join the Retirement Planning Simplified community,
where we explore the complicated world of retirement planning while embracing life beyond the numbers.
As a member of our community, you'll receive insights,
tips,
and the latest retirement planning tools
straight from us to you.